Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going deep into systems thinking. We'll be looking at Barry Richman's The Thinking in Systems Thinking.
Oh, yeah, a classic.
It is. We're going to break down seven essential skills that they're really for understanding complex systems. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a total beginner or you've been doing this for years.
Right.
These are really for everyone.
Yeah. And what's really interesting is that we often try to solve problems with this like linear mindset, like thinking, you know, this causes that. But systems thinking helps us see like the bigger picture.
Yeah.
It's about understanding the interconnectedness and the feedback loops and like those unexpected consequences that can just pop up.
You're right. It's not about finding that one magic solution.
Ew.
It's more about recognizing the patterns and the relationships within the whole system.
Exactly.
So let's get to it. The first skill Richman highlights is dynamic thinking.
Yes.
And it feels like the foundation for everything else.
It is.
But isn't it hard to gather historical data sometimes?
It can be.
How do we apply dynamic thinking when we might not have the full picture of the past?
That's a great question. You're right. Sometimes the data isn't readily available, but dynamic thinking is more about recognizing that systems change over time. Uh-huh. It's like comparing a snapshot to a movie.
Right.
So instead of just seeing that a company's revenues are down this quarter, we'd want to see how that number has changed over time.
Yeah.
Like, is this a new trend or is it part of a larger cycle?
That makes sense. So even if we don't have perfect data, we can still ask those over time questions.
Exactly.
Now, Richman uses these behavior over time graphs,
yes,
or BOTs, to illustrate this.
Yes.
Can you give us an example of how a BOT might be used in a real world situation?
Sure. Let's say a company is struggling with, you know, declining revenues. Mm-hmm. Now, a static thinker might panic, you know, seeing the latest quarterly report.
Yeah.
But with dynamic thinking, they'd plot those revenue numbers on a BOT graph.
Right.
And they might see that revenue has been steadily declining for several quarters,
mm-hmm.
or that there's this cyclical pattern of peaks and dips.
So that historical context helps frame the problem and the potential solutions.
Exactly.
It's like treating the cause instead of just the symptom.
Right. Exactly. And that's where our next skill, system as cause thinking, comes in.
Okay.
Now, this one can be tough because instead of blaming external factors for problems, we have to examine how our own actions are contributing to the system's behavior.
But isn't it sometimes valid to blame external factors?
It can be.
How do we determine when a problem is truly systemic versus external?
Well, that's where critical analysis comes in. Let's take that company with declining revenues again.
Yeah.
They might blame, you know, the economy or competition.
Right.
But a systems thinker would ask, what are we doing that might be contributing to this?
Yeah.
Maybe their product development process has slowed down or marketing campaigns have become stale.
Okay. So we're looking at trends over time and taking responsibility.
Yeah.
What's next in our systems thinking toolkit?
Now we have to figure out where to focus our attention.
Okay.
And that's where forest thinking versus tree-by-tree thinking comes in.
I love that.
It's like choosing the right lens for the situation.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
So forest thinking is about seeing the whole system. And tree-by-tree thinking is about examining specific parts, right?
Exactly.
It's like that example from the reading where the MBTA official was fixated on a single pothole instead of addressing the larger issue of aging infrastructure.
Perfect example. He was so focused on that one tree, he missed the whole forest crumbling around him.
Right.
But both perspectives are important.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need that broad overview and sometimes you need to zoom in on the specifics.
So how do we know which approach to take?
Well, that depends on the problem you're trying to solve.
Okay.
If you're trying to understand the overall dynamics of a system, forest thinking is key. But if you're trying to troubleshoot a specific issue, you might need to get into the weeds with tree by tree thinking.
All right. So we've got dynamic thinking, system as cause thinking, and now this idea of choosing the right level of detail.
Right.
What else do we need to really understand how a system works?
That's where operational thinking comes in.
Okay.
This is about going beyond simple correlations to understand the how and why of a system's behavior.
Okay, so it's not just about recognizing patterns.
No.
It's about digging deeper to figure out the mechanics behind them.
Exactly.
That's where it gets interesting, right?
Absolutely. Richman uses a great example. how learning occurs.
Mm-hmm.
We know experience and knowledge are connected,
right?
But operational thinking would dig into the specific mechanisms of learning.
Uh-huh.
Like, what are the steps involved? What conditions are necessary?
So instead of just saying, like, smart people are successful,
right?
We look at what makes them smart and how that leads to success.
Precisely. Operational thinking helps uncover those aha moments that can change how we approach problems.
Right.
Instead of just seeing that customer satisfaction is down, we'd ask, why are they unhappy? What are the specific operational issues leading to that dissatisfaction?
This is reminding me of that saying, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Operational thinking is like learning how to fish, isn't it?
I like that.
We're not just solving the immediate problem.
No.
We're understanding the system well enough to solve future problems, too.
I like that. You're absolutely right. That deeper level of understanding can be incredibly powerful.
So far, we've covered dynamic thinking, system as cause thinking, and operational thinking. What other systems thinking skills do we need to master?
So we're back and ready to dive into more systems thinking tools. Up next, we have closed loop thinking.
Oh, this one sounds interesting.
It is. It really can shift your perspective.
Oh.
You know, it moves us away from that straight line cause and effect thinking and into a more cyclical understanding of how these systems work.
Yeah. So it's about recognizing those feedback loops where like the effect of an action can actually become the cause in the next cycle.
Exactly. And this can be tricky because sometimes those feedback loops lead to, well, you know, unintended consequences.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely been there. This reminds me of a time when I was leading a project. And, you know, we made this decision to cut costs by switching to a cheaper supplier.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It seemed like a straightforward solution at the time, but it ended up backfiring.
Really? What happened?
Well, the cheaper materials, they ended up being lower quality, which led to production delays and a bunch more customer complaints.
Right, right.
We were so focused on that initial cost saving that we didn't even consider, like, the potential ripple effects.
That's a classic example of straight line thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we fail to see those feedback loops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, closed loop thinking, it encourages us to think several steps ahead.
Yeah.
Ask what if questions, like what if this decision leads to X?
Right.
How would that affect Y? And then how would that loop back to Z?
It's like playing a game of chess where you have to anticipate your opponent's moves.
Yeah.
But in this case, our opponent is like the system itself.
Right. Right.
We're trying to anticipate how the system is going to respond to our actions.
Exactly.
So with this closed loop thinking, we're acknowledging that sometimes the solution can actually become the problem.
Precisely. And that brings us to the importance of quantitative thinking.
Okay.
It's about using numbers to like enhance our understanding,
mm-hmm.
but it's not about becoming a mathematician.
Right. Right. We talked about this earlier.
Right.
It's about using the right level of precision.
Yeah.
Not getting bogged down in finding, you know, the perfect data point if we don't fully understand the system's dynamics yet.
Right.
But how can we actually use numbers to make better decisions?
Well, quantitative thinking can be used to model different scenarios, you know, test hypotheses.
Right.
For example, let's go back to that company struggling with declining revenues. They could use quantitative models to, like, explore the impact of different cost-cutting measures.
So instead of just making across the board cuts,
right,
they could use models to see which cuts would have the least negative impact on revenue.
Exactly. Or they could, you know, simulate the potential effects of a new marketing campaign.
Yeah. Okay.
Quantitative thinking allows us to experiment in a safe space and make, you know, more informed decisions based on data, not just intuition.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But Richmond stresses that the precision of our numbers needs to align with, like, the accuracy of our understanding of the system.
Absolutely.
So if we're still uncertain about, you know, the key drivers of revenue, we shouldn't get too hung up on creating a highly detailed model.
Absolutely. Yeah. The model is only as good as the assumptions it's based on. It's a tool for exploration, not a crystal ball.
Yeah. Okay. This is reminding me of something we touched on earlier about factors thinking.
Yes.
And how it's a limitation of, you know, traditional linear thinking.
It is.
Can we dive into that a bit more?
Sure. Factors thinking is about identifying correlations, but not necessarily understanding the, like, underlying mechanisms.
Right, right.
It's like saying successful companies have strong leadership.
Right.
So we assume strong leadership is a factor in success.
But that doesn't tell us why or how strong leadership contributes to success.
Exactly.
It's like that exercise example we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing that exercise is good for you isn't as helpful as understanding the specific physiological processes by which exercise benefits your body.
Precisely. Systems thinking pushes us to go beyond those simple correlations and ask, what are the operational relationships at play? What are the feedback loops? What are the underlying mechanisms driving this behavior?
So it's not enough to just identify the factors. We need to understand the how and the why behind those factors.
Yeah.
That brings us to the final skill on our list, scientific thinking. It feels like this is what brings it all together.
It does. Scientific thinking ensures our models actually reflect the real world. You know, it's about testing our assumptions and refining our models over time to make them more robust and reliable.
Can you give us an example of what, like, robustness means in the context of a model?
Sure.
I think that word can feel a little abstract sometimes.
It can be. Let's say we're building a model of, you know, climate change.
Hmm.
A robust model should be able to accurately predict temperature increases, even with slight variations in, you know, initial conditions.
Right.
It should be able to withstand scrutiny and hold up under different scenarios.
So robustness is about making sure our models aren't too sensitive to small changes.
Exactly.
They need to be able to handle a bit of uncertainty and still provide reliable insights.
Exactly. And that's where scientific thinking comes in.
Yeah.
It's about asking those tough questions. Is this model truly representative of the real world?
Right.
What are the limitations? How can we improve it?
It sounds like scientific thinking is really about having a healthy dose of skepticism.
It is.
Not just accepting our models at face value.
Yeah.
We need to constantly be testing and refining them, right?
You're spot on. It's about being open to new information.
Right.
And being willing to adjust our understanding as we learn more.
Yeah.
And that's what makes systems thinking so powerful. It's not a static set of rules,
right,
but it's an evolving way of approaching complex problems.
Yeah. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
We've explored 7 essential skills for systems thinking, from dynamic thinking to scientific thinking.
Yes.
Now, let's shift gears a bit and see how these skills connect to some, you know, popular concepts you might already be familiar with, like the idea of the learning organization.
So we're wrapping up our systems thinking deep dive.
Right.
We talked about those 7 skills, even walked through a real world example, you know. Now let's kind of zoom out.
Okay.
See how these skills connect to some bigger ideas, some stuff you might have heard of before.
Yeah, I like connecting the dots.
Me too. So one that comes to mind is this concept of a learning organization.
Right.
Organizations that are always like adapting and improving.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to do that without systems thinking.
Right.
You got to see the whole system, understand the feedback loops.
Right.
Be willing to, you know, test your assumptions.
So it's not just about like individuals learning.
Yeah.
It's about the whole organization learning and evolving like together.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a powerful idea.
It is.
Are there any other connections you've noticed?
Definitely. Think about Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yeah, yeah.
Habits like begin with the end in mind,
mm-hmm,
and seek first to understand, then to be understood.
Right.
They line up with systems thinking.
Yeah, I see that. Like begin with the end in mind.
Yeah.
It's about having a clear vision of what you want the outcome to be.
Yeah.
Which is like exactly what we're doing with dynamic thinking.
Excellent.
Thinking about the system's, you know, trajectory over time.
You got it. And seek first to understand, that's key for operational thinking. You can't create effective interventions if you don't get why things are happening the way they are.
Right. It's not just about doing things right.
No.
It's about doing the right things.
Exactly.
And that takes like a deep understanding of the system.
It does.
So we've covered a lot today.
We have.
As we wrap up this deep dive, what's like the most important takeaway for our listeners?
If I had to pick one thing, it'd be that systems thinking is a powerful way to understand and navigate complexity.
Mm-hmm.
These are skills you can learn, you can practice.
Right.
The more you practice, the more you'll start seeing the world differently.
It's about moving beyond like those knee-jerk reactions and the overly simplistic solutions.
Yeah.
And starting to see the interconnectedness of everything.
Exactly. And that interconnectedness, that's what makes systems thinking so valuable,
yeah,
especially in a world that's becoming more complex and unpredictable.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that we're all part of these larger systems. And our actions, they have ripple effects.
Yeah, they do. Well, this has been fantastic. A real deep dive into systems thinking.
It has been.
I hope everyone listening, you know, you feel empowered to start applying these skills in your own life. One last thought, just something to consider. What system are you a part of, and how can you use these skills to make a positive impact? Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems? Take care.